The Outlet. The talk of Wanaka.
Well, in that region, by far, the Alpine Fault is our largest disaster risk, or as it now is referred to as the AF8. Of course, there are other risks, such as landslides, severe weather, flooding, even pandemics. So we need to be aware of these, but none are as significant as a large earthquake.
Welcome to The Outlet. I'm your host, Brent Harbour, and this podcast I talk to Jeff McClay. Jeff is from the Wanaka Community Response Group. November is Be Prepared Awareness Month. The question is, are you and the family ready to look after yourselves until help arrives in a significant natural disaster? We'll find out what the risks are and some essential tips for building resilience.
Local voices, local info, The Outlet, the talk of Wanaka.
Let's have a look at what's on in Wanaka, brought to you by Liquorland 3 Parks, there for your next event with unreal deals. The Wanaka Bubs and Bugs Walking Group meets every Wednesday 9:30 to 10:30. It's been running since 2018 for local parents and their children. Now they meet at 9:30, walk for an hour, then head to a cafe. They walk in four locations, Wanaka Edgewater, Albert Town, Wanaka Ely Point and Harwea. All the info can be found on the What's On button, then events on the Wanaka app. November is Be Prepared Awareness Month. The question is, are you and the family ready to look after yourselves until help arrives in a significant natural disaster? Jeff McClay is from the Wanaka Community Response Group. We'll find out what the risks are and some essential tips for building resilience.
Can you tell me more about the Wanaka Community Response Group and how the idea came about and your goals?
Okay, well, the group was instigated by Emergency Management Otago, which we refer to as EMO, back in the middle of 2021. The idea took a little while to get off the ground, but there were several of us who you might call concerned locals. We've had a great deal of resilience to see this develop and were prepared to commit time and energy. We have finally identified a chair and formed an incorporated society in September last year. And shortly afterwards, we were granted charitable status. Since then, we've achieved great progress, or you might say momentum. In terms of goals, we have three reasons why we formed the group. Firstly, to create awareness and resilience in our local community. And secondly, to provide additional resources in the time of an emergency. And thirdly, coordination of communication with our community. I can drill down on those three subjects if you wish.
Mm-hmm. Go for it.
Firstly, to create awareness and resilience in our local community is to prepare for events of emergency following natural disasters such as earthquake, flooding, fire, etc. It's important that we strengthen our community's resilience so that we are better prepared to look after ourselves and each other, both before and after an event. Questions like, what would you do in an emergency situation? Where would you and your animals be? Do you have a grab bag? Are you ready? Which is our slogan for this campaign. Secondly, to provide additional resources, as our emergency services will be under-resourced, committee and volunteers can fill this gap and will stand up. Our group will base our team at one of the several locations in town, more than likely the Lake Wanaka Centre, but could be the rugby club, the community hub, or the Presbyterian Church. It solely depends on the condition of these buildings following an earthquake. Also, from grants provided to date, we've purchased equipment, and these purchases continue, including a covered trailer, which gives us mobility. Training in operating a community hub and the use of radios, first aid, mental health has either been completed or is scheduled. Lastly, coordination of communication. So during an emergency, our role will be to coordinate communication with EMO and the incident management team at their coordination centre, which will most likely be the Wanaka Reception Centre. Most importantly, for the safety, protection and well-being of our community, we will supply and circulate local information which will assist our community and other emergency management operatives.
So what is the most significant natural disaster risk in the Upper Clutha region? And why is it important for residents to be aware of it, Jeff?
Well, in our region, by far, the Alpine Fault is our largest disaster risk, or as it now is referred to as the AF8. Of course, there are other risks, such as landslides, severe weather, flooding, even pandemics. So we need to be aware of these, but none are as significant as a large earthquake. The result of an earthquake and the aftershocks can cause deaths and serious injuries. So it's important to think about what could this look like. If you picture significant shaking, landslides, possible tsunami in our lake, damaged roads, damaged, lost or impassable bridges, lost communication, electricity, gas and water, which could all be severely disrupted. In addition, the AF8 will be a national event, so emergency services will respond to the highest priority events. And given our location being regional, we need to be more prepared at home and at work.
Now, there has been a lot of research about the probability of an alpine fault earthquake occurring in the next 50 years. So what can you tell me about that research?
Well, as you know, Brent, I'm not involved in research, so my comments are based on what is readily available to all of us. Planning for the next earthquake is based on scientific research and modelling to establish what will happen to our communities and our infrastructure when the alpine fault ruptures again. For a number of years, scientists have been carefully studying the fault and its possible impacts and have teamed up with emergency managers to improve planning. There is a very good series of videos which have been developed to explain why we're all taking the alpine fault so seriously, and we want to help people understand how they can be prepared for the disruption to normal life that a severe earthquake will cause. I would encourage everyone to put AF8 in their search engine and read what the experts are saying. You will see that scientists have established that the alpine fault has ruptured 27 times in the past 8,000 years. That's every 300 years on average. The last significant quake on the alpine fault was back in 1717, so there's no reason why the pattern should change. We're actually in that zone right now. The alpine fault runs for over 800 kilometres up the spine of the South Island. It's part of the active boundary between the Pacific and the Australian tectonic plates where they intersect on land. The Southern Alps have been formed over millennia by upthrust from successive earthquakes on the alpine fault. The fault is estimated to move horizontally up to 10 metres at the time of an earthquake. So you might be interested also to learn that scientists calculate that the Southern Alps have been raised by 20 kilometres over the past 12 million years. And it's only the effect of constant erosion that's kept the tallest peaks in this mountain range from being over 4,000 metres high.
Wow, that's amazing. So what role does the Wanaka Community Response Group play in supporting emergency planning? And how do you collaborate with other emergency organisations during disasters?
Well, in terms of support for emergency planning, our group provides input for the continued development and the updating of the Wanaka Community Response Plan, which is dedicated to our local area. This plan provides great information for our community and identifies key hazards, vulnerable population sites and more. I suggest everybody review this plan, and it can be easily found on the QLDC website. We also actively support the rollout of Otago Gets Ready, which is a system where people can sign up, register their skills and resources that they might have. Also easily found on the QLDC website, Gets Ready is a communication tool which enables targeted notifications and alert, as well as creating a database of those who need assistance. For example, the elderly, those with mobility issues, and those who need electricity to survive with life support machines. The Gets Ready system also enables neighbourhood networking, so those with special skills can help their local community look after each other during an emergency. We are in the process of building relationships with the likes of FENS, the police, St John, Red Cross, Search and Rescue and other agencies. Those who we've met with to date have provided us with overwhelming support and two-way communication. In regards to the second part of your question, our group will be a critical part of the response network. We are the conduit between the local community to connect with the broader response being coordinated and controlled by the Emergency Operations Centre. So it is likely this team, which is made up of various agencies, will be located at the Wanaka Recreation Centre, and our group's responsibility is twofold. Firstly, to gather and supply information to the coordination centre, and secondly, to distribute information back to the community.
Can you please explain the three key phases of building resiliency that the Wanaka Community Response Group is focused on?
Brett, this is a good question. Resilience encapsulates the idea of being able to handle challenging situations and, most importantly, grow in the face of adversity. I actually believe there are four actual phases, the first being mitigation, but our group is focused on the next three being preparedness, response, and recovery. So mitigation begins with a risk assessment to understand what the most probable emergencies might be. And quite clearly, we put our faith in the experts or with the experts and the scientists. However, understanding all we can do to mitigate the possible effects of a disaster also applies to our families, homes, and workplaces. The most critical step, arguably, is preparedness, being well prepared. This is a continuous process, and this is why we will hold our Awareness Month in November each year. There's nothing significant about the month of November, but we've got to start somewhere. And ideally, everyone should know what to do in the case of an emergency. Another huge aspect of the preparedness step is training, making sure everyone understands their roles and responsibility in the event of a disaster. The third phase is to respond effectively to a disaster when it happens. The most crucial aspect of the response is making sure our families, our neighbours and the elderly, but also our pets are safe and out of harm's way. Once this is done, we can then provide support to our community. And finally, recovery means simply getting the community back on its feet in as little time as possible. However, we all know this is not as simple as flicking a switch.
Now, you recently sent out some leaflets. So what are some of the essential tips or actions mentioned in the leaflets for residents to make their households more prepared for emergencies, Jeff?
We want people to think about being prepared and to understand that during an emergency, civil defence and first responders will be extremely busy. That in itself is an understatement, because the likely scenario is that we might not see these people for some time, not just hours, but days. Therefore, I mean, particularly if we're cut off, days might go into, and hopefully not, weeks. Therefore, we need to be as prepared as we can. So we have set three simple steps for every household. Make a household plan, put together emergency supplies, and make your home safe. We all know emergencies happen at any time. So think about where you might be, where your family might be, what you will do if you can't make it home. Who will pick up the kids? How will you contact each other? What if you need to leave in a hurry? What if you have no supplies? Again, don't forget your four-legged friends. We are asking that everyone sit down, have a chat, work out what they will do and make a plan. Also, don't forget to talk to your neighbours. You might find that they have things that you don't have, such as independent water supply, a generator, a gas barbecue, solar electricity. We also ask that each household put together supplies which will last for at least 3 days. Personally, I would be looking at a week, but affordability plays a part. Your supply needs should include food for all of your families, babies, toddlers, medication, pet food, and also aim to store 3 litres of water per person per day. Think about, can you save your rainwater? Also have a grab bag ready in case you need to leave the house. A top tip would be to include a transistor radio with batteries. With the introduction of the Awareness Month, we also want households to review and update their plan and their emergency supplies every 12 months. So again, set your time to do this for November. It's important to place your supplies in a safe and accessible place. We don't live in concrete bunkers, so think about where is the strongest part in your home. And don't forget about your workplace. Above all, remember your family always comes first. Also, look at how you can make your home safe. Often there are large, some fragile items stored on high shelves. So think about what damage these might cause in an earthquake. Finally, make sure all members of your family know how to turn off power, gas, and water.
Yeah, that's really important to remember that one, actually. And Jeff, if people want to get involved in the Wanaka Community Response Group, how can they get in touch and what are some of the online resources?
Well, we encourage people to sign up. At the moment, we've got 30 to 40 members. In particular, we need people in certain locations throughout the Wanaka area. I'll mention some of those: North Lake, Hikawai, Beacon Point Road, King's Drive, Albury Road, Albert Town. But look, it doesn't stop there. So anyone that's interested in getting involved and strengthening our resilience can sign up. No special skills are required. They won't be put in situations where there's no competency. All a member needs is enthusiasm and a willingness to help the community before, during and following an emergency. So for information or to volunteer, I would like people to, in the first place, email us. That's wanakacrg@gmail.com. wanakacrg@gmail.com. And one of our volunteers will contact you. Alternatively, you will find us via Facebook. Just search Wanaka Community Response Group.
Thank you, Jeff, for all the work you're doing. I know there's a lot going on behind the scenes. And thank you very much for having a chat today.
It's a pleasure. Thanks, Brett.
The Outlet. Jobs Board.
Here are some of the jobs listed this week on the Wanaka app. Thanks to New World 3 Parks for when it's your job to do the grocery shopping. Clean Commercial is looking for a commercial cleaner. It's an immediate start at $35 per hour. The role is 2 days per week and around 5 hours weekly, but fill-in work is also available. The work is completed during the evening, and some weekend work may be required every second fortnight. Community Networks Link are looking for a community project coordinator to join their team. Now, this position provides you with the chance to cultivate connections and see projects evolve from their initial stages to successful completion. Responsibilities include coordinating projects, leading volunteers, supporting community activities, and organizing community events. And Summit Financial Group are seeking a dynamic and detail-oriented insurance administrator to join their team. You will play a crucial role in supporting advisors through the new business process, ensuring meticulous document creation and compliance adherence. You can find out about these jobs and more by clicking on the jobs button on the navigation bar of your Wanaka app.
On Buzzsprout, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts. The Outlet.
The talk of Wanaka.
Thanks for listening to The Outlet, your local interview and information podcast for Wanaka. If you have a story or an interview you think should be featured on The Outlet podcast, get in touch by using the contact button on the navigation bar of your Wanaka app. The Outlet is produced and published by the Wanaka app and supported with funding from the New Zealand Public Interest Journalism Fund. All episodes of The Outlet are available in the podcast section of your Wanaka app.